BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
Hello. There's no doubt which has been the single biggest gripe from In Touch listeners over the past few years. Flat screen card readers which demand your PIN number after you've made a purchase and which even tech-savvy blind people find nearly impossible to use. And the complaints multipliers this type of card reader multiplies in shops, pubs, restaurants, etc. Amongst the most recent emails that we've had, this one from Paul Jarman just about says it all.
Back in the spring of this year, I was in a tea house in Tewkesbury. When it came to pay, I tried to use my contactless credit card. As obviously happens from time to time, it required my PIN. When I put my hand on the card machine, there were no buttons, only a flat touch screen panel. It was obviously quite impossible that I could enter my PIN on such a machine. On that occasion, I was carrying sufficient cash to make the purchase. Last evening, I dined in a local restaurant here in Newark with a friend. When we came to split the bill, it was my turn to use the card machine. Again, the contactless payment was rejected and I had to enter my PIN. And there it was again! Another touchscreen card machine, leaving me in exactly the same situation. So last evening, I had to tell my friend my PIN and he entered it for me. I have three questions I would love to see addressed on your programme. First, leaving aside the enormous embarrassment, what would my legal position be should I find myself in a similar position if I was dining alone? Second, are these touchscreen card machines now set to become the norm? And third, what are organisations which are supposed to be looking out for us, notably the dear old RNIB, doing about it? It is time you devoted an entire programme to it.
Well, Paul, thank you for your email. There was more. And for your suggested questions. So we are devoting this whole programme to the issue. And to help with that, we've assembled a spokesperson for UK Finance, which speaks on behalf of the banks and other financial institutions whose cards so many of us use. We've also been talking to a number of companies who produce and market touchscreen card machines and the people who represent the shops, pubs and restaurants which purchase them. And also here, someone who's part of a consortium who thinks that they've come up with a solution. I'll deal with Paul's last question first. What are the organisations who represent us doing about this problem? Dave Williams is the RNIB's Inclusive Design Ambassador. Dave, you could argue that Paul has actually been quite lucky if he only encountered this issue last spring. It's been around for 5 or 6 years, maybe more, and the last time we spoke to you about this was back in November 2021. It feels to a lot of blind people that the only thing that's happened since then is that the problem's got worse. What is the RNIB doing about it?
It's a really, really tough nut to crack. We are working with the industry on various technical workarounds, accessibility modes, tactile overlays, also helping to build awareness of alternative ways to pay. So if you've got a smartphone or a smartwatch, you might be able to use that. We are working with industry and blind and partially sighted people to test some of those solutions that I mentioned there, but we realise that it's not enough, and we all need to come together, every stakeholder in this, to make sure that we continue to prioritise this issue.
Dave, there is in this country an Equality Act 2010. Part of it deals with the provision of goods and services. Isn't this precisely the kind of issue with which it's supposed to deal? And what I'm leading to is, has the RNIB not thought of actually testing it?
Well, if somebody wants to take legal action, you're very welcome to reach out to our campaigns team. Make sure you've got all the details of when the incident happened, the make and model of the card machine.
Doesn't it need a class action to establish the point rather than an individual case?
I'm not a lawyer, right? So I'm not able to offer individual legal advice, but I'm looking forward to hearing from other contributors about how we can raise the bar where this issue is concerned.
Adam Scarrett, you speak for UK Finance, which in turn speaks for the banks and other financial institutions. Same question, really. What have you been doing about this since November 2021? Because it's been a heck of a long time.
The UK cars industry has been at the forefront of addressing accessibility going back for 20 years. The manufacturers have been developing accessibility tools. There is a terminal approval process that we run. All the details are on our websites, and manufacturers can come to us and get an approval from UK Finance for some technical security stuff, but also for the accessibility. But in the UK, there are roughly 2 million terminals in use, and over half of them are bought directly by the retailer. So this isn't just a payment company bank issue. What we need is a partnership between the manufacturers, the payment companies that buy and lease these terminals, and the retailers that buy them. And we really need to work together rather than point the finger at one particular party. And there's more work that's needed on the design as well. The new law in Europe called the European Accessibility Act, which deals with terminals, and all the manufacturers are looking at how they're going to do that.
The growing need for security and the explosion of scams, does that mean that the banks aren't really taking this issue of access for disabled people really seriously?
Banks want to protect their consumers first and foremost. It's really important that car security, in this context of visually impaired and blind people using their cards, living their ordinary daily lives like everybody else, that they feel they can be treated like everybody else. But the chip and pin kind of security is there not only to protect, you know, fraud in the UK economy, but it also protects the individual cardholder.
I've also been talking to Tony Sophocledes of UK Hospitality, which represents the restaurants, the bars, the pubs, where so many In Touch listeners have had these difficulties. So I began by asking him if he thought many of his members were really aware of the embarrassment and the distress these situations cause their visually impaired customers.
Increasingly so, but I think we know that the largest hardware and software manufacturers actually have been working with the Royal National Institute of Blind People to ensure that their products are increasingly more accessible.
I mean, when I encounter these kinds of difficulties, I usually find that the staff are sympathetic, but that they just have never realised that the flat screen card readers are a potential problem for blind people. Do you think really that you're giving members enough information about their obligations to make their services accessible to disabled people?
As you say, staff, you know, pretty much without fail are keen to help. So it's really about making sure that it's part of the training of new staff or refreshing training of existing staff.
Well, part of inviting you on is in the hope that you would regard it as your organisation, which after all represents people who work in the trade, perhaps to do more yourselves about making sure that they know that this is a problem.
And we're absolutely committed to doing that and, you know, also able to feed these concerns to government. Our chief executive, Kate Nichols, represents hospitality as one of the Cabinet Office's disability ambassadors. So we're making sure the message isn't just going to our members and those people that operate hospitality venues, but also to government.
So what about the government? Well, just before Christmas, we had a question and answer session with Sir Stephen Timms, Secretary of State for Social Security and Disabilities. And we read a few of your emails about this to him. Here's part of what he said at the time.
I'm certainly going to keep a very close eye on what happens with the UK finance work, and I will want us to make some rapid progress. I mean, I think this is an example of a wider problem that technology advances can increase the barriers. So, you know, we need to make sure there's better assistive tech to keep up with what's happening elsewhere.
Warm words there. But are we any nearer to solving the problem? We've been talking to the companies who make this equipment and market it. SumUp told us,
even though the majority of transactions on our devices, close to 85%, happen without the need for the cardholder to enter a PIN, we work hard to ensure that all of those involved in any given transaction do not encounter any obstacles. SumUp offers tactile overlays free of charge to our merchants. We are working with the RNIB, who offer an accessible solution so that everyone can enter a correct PIN without needing the help of another person. Ahead of the European Accessibility Act, the implementation of which the company supports, we are thoroughly reviewing our procedures to ensure seamless payments for everyone.
We talked to Clover. They said that their latest payment devices come preloaded with enhanced accessibility features. they allow blind and visually impaired customers to make payments using a tactile pin pad overlay or by using speech prompts. Square UK say,
"Our latest equipment has accessibility options available to help accommodate the needs of blind and visually impaired people. Our design teams are focused on ensuring that all new and existing hardware and software is increasingly seamless, accessible and inclusive."
Lots of good intentions there. We're joined by Gary Evans, who is product manager of Ingenico. Now, you make this kind of equipment. I think the question that's been burning in my mind listening to all this is, what is the benefit of the flat screen equipment? Why is there a prevalence increasing?
The reason mainly is with these new devices, the screens are a lot bigger. Information can be passed through to the consumers more easily. The fonts can be bigger. The new terminals, you know, all have speakers built in. We're working closely with our customers all the time to make sure that this message gets to the merchants. So, you know, whenever we send anything out, we actually do tell everyone, you know, what's in the box, what the overlays are for. We have a comprehensive guide of, you know, how to use the accessibility mode or how to use the overlays. We're working all the time with our partners, with UK Finance, the RNIB.
You see, you all say you're working together. I'm just wondering, if everyone's working together, why is it taking so long?
That is a good question. As everyone said here, you know, this journey is ongoing, but we're committed to getting it right.
Are there any of these machines that can't have a tactile overlay put on them?
All our new terminals can have overlays put on them.
So they may be coming across stuff that is older, where people haven't updated, possibly because, you know, they can't afford it. But you're saying all the new ones could have an overlay.
Yeah, so all our new terminals that we produce now that are touchscreen, you know, have overlays.
Okay. Gary, thank you. So are there any other solutions, particularly which don't require sophisticated technical knowledge or the possession of and confidence with using a smartphone? Well, someone who thinks that he does have an answer almost ready to go is Steve Tyler. Steve is Director of Assistive Technology at Leonard Cheshire, and he joins us. Steve, tell us about your solution.
It's been interesting listening to the conversation, and odd it seems to me that in 2025... we're in a position where people with disabilities who have money can't actually part with it. That's a slightly odd turn of events. My worry about the existing infrastructures and services is that even if they were accessible, they're increasingly complicated. There are menu systems and so on that inveigle their way into the process. So I pulled together a partnership of people. We've looked at the problem afresh. The idea of transacting in an easy-to-use way, using the technology to remove barriers rather than create them. And we've come up with Talu Card. Anyone that's interested, Talu, T-A-L-U, card.com. Imagine a regular-looking, feeling card, but this particular one has tactility built into it, so there's a tactile element to guide you to where you need to be. There's coloration, so you can see where you're supposed to be. And where you're supposed to be is a fingerprint reader built into the card. Essentially, you go up to the terminal, you place your finger on the fingerprint reader on your card. That authenticates you. It's powered by the reader as you approach it, and the transaction happens.
The trick is you're looking at the card and not the screen to change.
Yes, that's right. What we've done is utilised fingerprint reading technology. We know those of you who use Apple Pay or Android Pay, effectively it's very similar to that, but we would argue actually even more promising in the sense that there are no restrictions, for example, on the amount that you can part with in any one transaction. Our objective is to make this available as quickly as possible to as many people that need it as possible, and certainly visually impaired people. There are three broad ways of doing it. One, you use the card, as I've just described. No messing around. You don't need technology there. It's set up in advance and it works. Second, there is an app that goes with it, in which case you can have all sorts of information and controls in place as you see fit. And thirdly, an app, but this time for a third party to help you and support you. So friends, family, in terms of authorizations. And in addition, there are plenty of counter-fraud technologies built in by definition, simply because you're using fingerprint identity.
There are already some fingerprint scanning cards, I think, on the market. Why haven't they been used for this purpose?
The short answer is the technology is there and it's been looking for the reason to exist. And I think we've found one. We've taken a customer journey approach from the moment, you know, you pick up your card to the end of the process. So it's all the things that people ideally want. How much are you about to pay? How much did you pay? How protected are you? And those issues, which everyone just takes as a given, really, and we've never properly sorted out for the visually impaired community. We're moving into evaluation, especially for the tactile element. We're really hoping that we get past that process over the next 3 or 4 months and begin to engage the banking fraternity.
I just want to check how people are reacting to this. Gary Evans, you know, you make the machines. It doesn't sound as if this in any way makes the machines any less viable. What's your reaction to that?
Clever idea. You know, Ingenico have actually created a fingerprint system. We were going to demo it at the London trade show in a few months' time, and it's something that Ingenico would like to bring out, not just in the UK, but across Europe.
Sounds as if there could be a race to the finish here. Dave Williams at the RNIB, what do you make of that idea?
Yeah, we've had a preliminary meeting with Steve from Leonard Cheshire. Really interesting concept, keen to learn more, keen to trial it. But technology takes a long time to develop. People are going to be going out tonight, tomorrow, and wanting to make payments. So we still need to make sure that people working in retail environments know what accessibility options are available and their duty to ensure that they're providing accessible ways to pay.
Adam Scala, what about you? I mean, this sort of fingerprint technology has been around. This is just a way of using it. Like, I'm still bound to ask the question, why hasn't it happened before?
Biometric security has a real potential to make a difference here. I think the truth is that it's not yet manufactured at scale. And one of the things that we will be focused on is not only the security at the transaction point when you enter the PIN, so is it, you know, validating that you are the cardholder and it's your PIN or your fingerprint, it's making sure that the rest of the architecture of the cards is also safe. The way in which the information is traced and is transmitted across the network, earlier versions of biometric we looked at weren't exactly great on that front. But we, in the industry, we have a working group on biometrics where we're tracking this with interest.
Steve Tyler, how sure are you about the safety and security of your product?
We're very sure. It's backed by MasterCard technology. We're in partnership with one of the best fingerprint technology reading entities on the planet, and it complies with all regs.
Well, I'm sure there'll be quite a lot of them to-ing and fro-ing about this whole subject. I'd like to thank you all for joining in this debate. Dave Williams, Adam Scarrett, Steve Tyler, Tony Sophocledes, and also Gary Evans. And that's it for today. As ever, your reactions, please. You can email in touch at bbc.co.uk. You can leave voice messages on 01618 336138. Or you can go to our website where you'll find more information at bbc.co.uk/in-touch. And from where you can also download